to M. M just sent a message that says, "Did you drop me? I can't hear you."
She is on an iPad.
There she is. We didn't drop you, M. You dropped out of the call.
I'm sorry.
How long were you sitting there talking to yourself?
For like 10, 15 minutes.
Well, M, I'm about to start this thing for real. I'm about to kick it off. You ready?
Okay.
Y'all ready for this?
Everybody get up.
All right, here we go.
Happy Bames Strong.
Happy Bames Week, Bames.
My mic sounds nice. That's what I originally wanted to open with.
Happy More Bames Week, nice. M. Happy Bames Week.
Happy, is it your birthday?
Yeah.
My birthday was on Wednesday.
It's Bames' birthday week.
Happy birthday.
He's six, I'm 12. 16 years old.
Yep, my quinceañera.
Mm-hmm.
16 years young.
Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. Bames, what kind of car did you ask your father for?
PT Cruiser. Something safe.
Did you get it?
No.
Aw. That's too bad.
Looks like I'm going to have to keep riding my Huffy to school.
Jeez.
In reality, I am 24 years old.
Piece of toast hanging out of your mouth.
I instead bought myself Shovel Knight.
Bames, when you leave the house to go basically anywhere, do you do it with a piece of toast hanging out of your mouth?
Oh, yeah. Totally. And jam. But sometimes there's no jam, so I'm freaked out.
I think this was in an after show or something, but I have decided that Bames should be an anime.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he?
Well, if he's running around with toast in his mouth, I think that pretty much seals the deal.
I'm like that anime Kickheart that's about luchas.
Do they run around with toast in their mouth?
I haven't watched it.
Oh, I haven't either.
And I won't until it's confirmed. It might not even be out.
Well, Em, we're going to need you to do some research for us.
I can't do research.
Get out your adding machine.
You're the fact checker. The official fact checker for the show.
Like, that's the thing I'm the worst at doing.
Find out about the toast, okay?
Where has the toast gone?
Lucha toast. I would also accept a toasted tortilla.
Yeah, a churro.
I would think that if Bames had toast in his mouth when he was running to school every day, it would be one of those toasters that like printed like a little Mario or Luigi toaster face on it.
I want to get one of those like panini presses that prints an American flag onto it so I can go like French bread, not anymore.
Aww. That's pretty adorable.
But yeah, I run to school with a piece of toast in my mouth and putting my arm into the sleeve of my jacket.
Yeah.
And your sailor dress on.
Maybe hiking your bag up on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm. I'll jump onto my bike and I go downhill.
So, M doesn't like it when I talk about anime. So, instead, I thought I'd tell you all about how I played Love Plus.
Great.
What do you think?
This is a downgrade.
But Love Plus, it's related to the show because we watched that video of those Japanese guys who date their DSs, and that's the game they were playing. So I played it for research because you weren't doing your fact checker job. I don't get it. It was sort of fun, I guess. For a little while, it's sort of like a trick. Like it's sort of addicting for a little while, but you're not really doing anything. And there's sort of two phases to it. Like there's the part where you have to like win the girl over,
and you can kind of pick from a few different girls, but it's sort of like a visual novel thing, but even less happens. You get like four slots in your day and you have to pick activities.
Yeah, I do.
And, yes, four vaginas in your day.
Four slots. And four sluts in your day.
And you have to decide what to do with their vaginas. No, you get like four slots and like two of them will be classes. And then you can pick like if you want to go to work or like because you work a part-time job, or if you want to do hobbies, or I don't know, go out. There's various things, and you have stats, and which activities you pick determines what stats go up and down. And kind of randomly, during like when it goes through your activities, most of the time it'll just show like a picture and like a little bit of text will go by and then it'll fade and it'll go to the next event. But randomly, like actual events will pop up and the girl will show up and you'll have conversations and there'll be like a plot point sort of. And it all kind of goes by really fast and you see your stats go up and down, and it gets sort of addicting because of that, because you're sort of constantly hoping something will happen, but not much really happens. And then when you get through all of that and like you've won your girl over, it goes into this other mode that I just couldn't be bothered with, which I think is the mode where you can date your DS. Cause now you've won the girl over. Now you can do stuff like just meet up with her on a plain white background and poke her head. And she'll go like, "Oh, why are you poking my head?"
Ooh-ah.
Yeah. I don't really get it. Like the first part that was sort of a game, I kind of get, but after that, like just poking this imaginary, she can't possibly have that many things she can say. There's a part where you can, like before and after your activities in that first part, you can send emails, but there's only like two or three things you can pick from to send, like preset messages. One's good morning, one's good night. And I think the other one is, what are you doing?
And send this to five people, you will die.
And when you send them, like if you send the good morning one, I should have sent the good morning one at night or the good night one in the morning to see what happens, but I never did. But if you send the good morning one, she just emails you back and she's like, "Thanks for the morning message." And if you send the good night one,
she says it in that voice.
Yeah. Well, it's just text at that point. If you send the good night one, it's basically the same thing, like good night to you too. And if you send the what are you doing right now one, they write back almost like annoyed, like I'm watching a fucking movie. But it's always the same message. So like there's really, it's not that flexible a thing. I don't see how you could play that game indefinitely, like for years on end, and be like, yeah, this is my girlfriend.
Well, it's about love, Kyle.
It's about love plus.
You just like to lead the girls on, and then once they're your girlfriend, you do nothing with them.
Love them and shut down the DS.
Yep. Love them and plus them.
Yep. So, I don't get it, but you Japanese guys, you can have it, I guess. Is there a guy version? Like, so, like girls can play it and date cute boys?
I get advertisements for those all the time on Facebook. Which I find insulting.
For love
well,
plus
they,
dude
they
version?
They put those up based on what you like.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I think I've posted them on my Twitter. Like pictures, like two bedroom story and I don't know.
Okay. Well, I was specifically talking about if there was like a dude version of love plus. But so you're talking about like, I don't know, visual novels or...
Isn't that
Sims.
What you're talking about?
Kind of. Love Plus is specifically like, that game on the DS that those
people call
playing.
Romantic visual novels like dating Sims sometimes, but Love Plus is actually a dating sim.
Yeah, yeah. This is actually a dating sim. It's all about stats and like actually winning over the girl, and there really isn't much in the way of plot to it. It's not really a story so much.
I don't know. I'm trying to find those pictures I had. I think I posted them on Twitter somewhere. But
good fact checking.
Yeah. You ever play any of these?
Hmm?
You ever play any of these dude games?
No, I don't have a desire to play them. They come up on my dash and they're like, "Hey, you think you'd like this?" And I'm like, "Shut the fuck up.
Don't knock it till you tried it, Em.
You don't know me. If you're a girl, you're pretty much limited to hot tofu boyfriend."
I'm antisocial enough. I don't need a computer to make me more antisocial. And I spend way too much time with my iPad already.
This can fulfill your human needs.
And then you can have a rude British woman come interview you about it.
Yeah. And, these nuts.
And then complain behind your back about how you're not having enough babies.
We already do that to her face on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, no desire. I'll just watch my TV shows and get my feels that way.
I don't know, Em. Stories. I didn't expect to like that Cripple Girl game. But then I played it. And now I'm in love with people with physical disabilities.
Exclusively.
Yeah.
That's why I can't get into Love Plus.
Yeah, you would think I would like these animes that Em's recommending to me more. If I'm in love with people with physical disabilities.
Well, they all look like they're just retarded.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Em doesn't like to talk about animes.
Oh, Em's here.
Yeah.
No, it's... Look, if a story's good enough, then you'll look past the shitty art.
Yeah, but there's no story in Azumanga Daioh.
Oh, that God, is true. But it's so funny.
I just think that show looks good.
You think it looks good?
Yeah, I like how that show looks.
Oh, man, everybody's face looked like...
I was saying it was full of retarded babies.
They were all, like, melting, and there's this one chick who's, like, real quiet, and I think she's, I don't know, whatever. Like, she's supposed to be really nice, but everybody thinks she's not really nice. And she had a serious case of man face.
You're saying their faces are all simple, but you're saying that she has man face?
I didn't say they were simple. I said they were melting.
Yeah.
And then the one girl...
That was amazing.
It was like an episode of Sesame Street where they randomly cut to like the cartoon of a pinball machine or some claymation. There's just suddenly, for no reason, a scene of the genius girl character frying up cats.
Yeah. Well, that was like one dream sequence.
That's a dream sequence?
Yes.
I didn't even understand that that's what was going on. It was just like, let's cook something. Oh, this isn't food. That's the joke. And then there was like a scene where a yellow cat flew through the sky for no reason.
I was dreaming. I'm fairly certain because I wasn't like, that is out of place.
It was totally out of place.
Oh, that's the point. It's made out of a four-coma comic. Like, oh my God. I like that show.
Well, I think we should fight about it, so.
Mm-hmm. I watched that Usagi Drop thing.
You did? Did you hate it?
I didn't hate it. I just thought the ending, like, it was, I guess it was okay because, like, in Japan, that's fine to, like, sleep with your kids in the
that's
same
not,
bed.
It didn't end that way at all.
No. I'm talking about the first episode. Episode one.
Okay, what happened in episode one?
Episode one, like, he wakes up and he's sleeping in the bed with the little kid. And she's got, like an oversized shirt on. And I was kind of like, I don't
really
like this.
That bothered you?
Oh, a little bit. It was just weird. I'm not used to it.
Wow, Em.
But I'll watch it a little bit more of it. What a
prude. You round eye.
I went to see my ex-roommate John's baby a little while ago, like last week. For the first time, I'd never seen this baby. It's a girl baby. And at one point, they asked her where her belly was, and she lifted her shirt up, and I saw her tiny baby boobs. Does that make you uncomfortable?
No, it's... I don't know. Why are you putting it on me?
I don't, because it is on you. That's weird. It's weird to me that you, it wouldn't be weird to me that you were creeped out by that if there was any sort of vibe like that to the show, like that is a creepy thing, but it wasn't. It was just like, it was a little kid, staying at his house and like, he doesn't have an extra room for her or anything, and she's also scared and in a new place, and her quote-unquote dad just died, like the old man.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think there was anything inappropriate.
I'm not saying
about
it was, like, menacing or anything. It was just kind of, I don't know. I mean, I'll watch some more of it. That part is kind of weird, but as I said, I'm just not used to seeing kids sleeping in the same bed with their parents, so...
And did you never, ever, not like on a regular basis, but did you never, ever, as a little kid, like run into your parents' bedroom or whatever? And
My, well, I, well, I live with my mom when I was a kid, so.
Oh, so really. If it's lesbian incest, it's okay.
Yeah.
No, it's, oh God, Kyle, why are you doing this to me?
Because you hate children.
Did you watch any Mushishi?
Not yet.
Oh, I'm never watching anymore. Sorry.
I'm afraid to watch it. I'm afraid to watch it because man.
You're afraid to watch it because you're afraid you're going to hate it?
Yeah, three strikes and you're out, Em.
Oh, well.
No, I will watch it eventually.
Eventually. Never. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. I don't care. That's fine.
Kyle, what you been watching? It's time for the roundup.
Oh, you want to know?
Yeah.
Well, I think last week when I did just like a slumber party, I gave you my whole list. You don't want the whole list again, do you?
No.
Okay, let's see. What's new?
Give me your highlights and lowlights, Kyle.
Well, that'd be a different thing. Let's see. What have I watched recently? I watched some show called, is it one of those long title shows? Those seem to be semi-trendy. My mental choices are completely interfering with my school romantic comedy, which is weird. It's about this guy in high school, and every once in a while, he gets like a random multiple choice question from like the gods or something, from some mysterious force, and he has to pick one of the two options that's presented to him. And it's almost always like they're both bad options. Like it'll be like, stand up in front of the whole class and do this horrible, embarrassing thing, or do this other horrible, embarrassing thing. And he hates it and he wants to make it go away. And it was weird. I didn't really care that much for it. It was okay, but I'm having trouble even remembering it that well. And I watched something called Say I Love You, which was a lot like that other show I was telling you about, Bames. Kimi no Todoke with the chick from The Ring.
Yeah, Sadako.
It was a lot like that show where it's like about a girl that has no friends. And then, like, she slowly gets friends. But that show, the one with Sadako, the girl from The Ring, was much more, like, over the top. Like, everybody thought that she was, like, the girl from The Ring and that she, like, could put curses on people and talk to ghosts and stuff, and they were, like, afraid of her. This other Say I Love You show was more just, like, she's just a dork with no friends. And that was okay. And I watched... Cool. My Little Monster, which was, that one was interesting because it was kind of like an inversion sort of, like it was about a girl who, was very sort of, she was a loner and kind of uptight and serious all the time. And then there's like a dude who's kind of a troublemaker and he's a real, he gets in fights a lot and stuff, but so he's like the wacky one. Like he's sort of like like a male manic pixie dream girl, I guess.
Cool.
But yes. He's more of a ruffian than that. And then I watched that. I think Britton told me about this one, Nagiyasu or something like that, about water people.
Nagiyasu. I've never heard him talk about it, but
there's a bunch of, a bunch of people that live in the sea, and and then there are also people that live on land, and apparently like we were all one at some point, but then the land people decided to crawl out of the sea and they lost their ability to live in the sea, and a school under the sea gets shut down, and then the sea kids have to go to school with the regular kids.
Oh, cool.
And then I watched Anohana, which was really sad.
Oh, I love that anime. Or manga. I read the manga.
About a bunch of friends whose one of the friends died when they were little, and then all of a sudden the one that died comes back as a ghost. And I watched Haruhi.
Oh, you watched Haruhi?
All of it, including The Endless Eight.
Remember when Flinus got so mad?
Oh, fuck The Endless Eight! The Endless Eight, if you don't know, is eight episodes of the show that are basically the same because they're stuck in a time loop. And
it's
it
like
was
Groundhog Day.
it was a little frustrating. And at first, I thought it was going to be way more frustrating because I accidentally watched most of the first episode again because I thought I was watching the second episode.
Ah, awesome.
And I was like, this is like identical. Are they really going to be like this? But then when I realized my mistake, they're not. They are kind of frustrating because it's the same plot points over and over again, but they do change. Like the animation changes, the lines change, things get jumbled up a little bit.
And they do stuff.
Yeah. But really, it is still so similar that it does get obnoxious.
Yeah, like I wouldn't watch it again.
What do you think of that show overall?
I liked it a lot, but it had a lot of stuff that I feel like only it could get away with. But I watched it a while ago. I might want to re-up on that show.
I liked it, but I feel like it's weird because lots of shit happens, but I sort of feel like nothing really happened.
Yeah. It's ultimately very inconsequential.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like I've watched a tiny part of something much bigger. And I know it is bigger because it's like based on light novels and there's more of them. But I feel like I watched just a little tiny bit of something much bigger and like something would happen, but it just never did.
Yeah, there's like one episode where they like go into the desert and fight some kind of monster.
Yeah.
And it felt like they were giving you a taste of the what was to come, but...
Yeah, but then nothing ever really comes of that.
Yeah.
I watched them in the broadcast order too, instead of the chronological order because they were originally broadcast out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Chronologically. And that was, I don't know how I feel about that because I think honestly watching it in chronological order might have been better.
That's how I watched it.
Because I don't really understand why they broadcast it in the order that they did. Like if I had no idea what I was getting myself into and didn't know that it was broadcast out of chronological order, I would have just been confused. Like, who are these people? What's going on? Why is this like this? It didn't add anything to it. The only thing I've heard as like a defense of that is that like the way the season ends would happen somewhere in the middle, like the big climactic ending.
Mm-hmm.
But so what, I guess.
Yeah. I had something happen to me. I had something happen to me, an event. I tried to watch an anime a few days ago, that I ended up watching the first episode of season 2. Instead of season 1, because Crunchyroll has weird formatting.
Yeah.
And it made me think of Haruhi. The show I was watching is called Madoka Box, which is the show about... I watched one episode, and I decided I thought it was too ugly. Even though, like, the very base premise is kind of interesting. It's this girl who's, like, really good at everything named Madoka, and she's, like, the school council president. And she's so good at stuff that she doesn't understand how anybody can, like, try really hard at something and not be good at it. So she, like, does assistance for, like, students who are doing poorly on tests. And all the classes are like, make sure you write your numbers correctly so that people know, so people don't make mistakes when they're reading them and accidentally give you the wrong answer. Like, she just assumes everyone gets everything correctly. And so that's kind of funny. And she has a whole suggestion box where people put in... like requests, and then she goes and solves it. So that's like the basis of the show. And in season 2, they had started getting into like super high action anime fighting, but it was like everybody in that show has the worst eyes and there are no good voice actors.
Oh no.
Like people's eyes are like spiky.
Weird. I don't even know what that means. What's it called?
Madoka Box.
Madoka Box.
It's also like an opi show, which is uncomfortable.
Boobs?
Yeah.
It's a boob show? I didn't know that was a genre of show, boob.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it's listed as on like my anime list. Or maybe it's just ecchi. Which I think also means boobs.
Hmm. Well, I almost did that with some show. I can't remember what, where I started with the wrong season. But then I didn't. Oh, Cliff Cash Sucks is in the chat. He wants to know if he missed the obituary reading. No, he didn't. I tweeted earlier today, who wants to who wants to do a show tonight where I just read obituaries. I did pull up some obituaries out of curiosity. I went to some site called, I think I just typed obituaries into Google, and the first result was mlive.com, which is like a website about Michigan. And it brought up the obituaries page. And the first thing that I noticed when I brought this page up is that they have spotlighted obituaries. Is this normal with obituaries to spotlight some of them? Like best obituaries of the month or something?
O-O-T-Y.
Yeah, obituary of the year. There's a one of the spotlighted obituaries is Gertrude Josephine Mole. And then there's James McClure and Charles Smith. What? Well, I haven't read the obituaries yet. These are spotlighted. They had like little thumbnails. I had to click on them. Let's see. What's up with Gertrude? Gertrude Molenkamp. Gertrude Josephine Molenkamp, age 81, of Jennison, went to be with her Lord and Savior Thursday, July 17th, 2014.
Well, I guess that is unusual.
Gert was preceded in death by her parents, Cornelius and Grace Boesky, stepmother Agnes Boesky, son-in-law Robert Peters. Is this what obituaries are always like? Like, so-and-so died, a bunch of other people died before them, and I will list them now.
Yeah. Hey, what should we name our daughter, honey? Gert.
Gert. I'm sure it was a real popular name 81 years ago.
Yeah.
Gertie.
Yeah, she's preceded by all these people, or son-in-law Robert Peterson and grandson Robert Peterson II. Man, her grandson died before her? That sucks. She will be greatly missed.
Grandson.
She will be greatly missed by her loving husband of 59 and a half years, Melvin.
Old Gert and Melvin.
What's funny about that? That's my dad's name.
Oh, man.
His mom's name, Gertrude.
No.
We call her Gertie. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say we call him Mel most of the time, but I mean I call him Dad, but
Melvin. Is his last name the same as yours?
No.
I'm not gonna like look him up. I'm just because it would be an alliterative name. It would be even funnier.
Maybe.
Okay, fine. We don't have to talk about your Melvin. If it makes you uncomfortable to talk about your Melvin, we don't have to.
Still want to talk about the name.
Now I understand.
Flew the coop and back again.
Now I understand why you never wanted to climb into bed with him. That name. So unattractive, Dad.
Oh, don't make Dad sex jokes. That's gross.
Especially with a guy named Mel.
Yeah, because his name is Melvin. I get it. I wouldn't want to bang a guy named Melvin either.
Okay. Continue.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah. Her loving husband of 59 and a half years, Melvin. Her children, Mark, Doreen Molenkamp, Cindy. What? Doreen is in parentheses. What does that mean? Mark, parentheses, Doreen Molenkamp. Is that...
That's her nickname.
Mark's nickname is Doreen?
I guess.
Okay.
Okay, hang on. I hate to interrupt, but I looked up Melvin on Google, and the first thing I got was Urban Dictionary. You know those things when people make Urban Dictionary names, like definitions for a name, and it's like probably the guy who made it has that name because it's like really nice. This is for Melvin, and it's a boy you love to look at. His skin is perfectly smooth and tan. Wow. His eyes are dark and dangerous, and his smile is to die for. And it goes on like this. But it's Melvin.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody must have a crush on your dad, Em.
Ow! Stop!
One of the examples is, oh my god, did you see that boy? He winked at me and my vagina belonged to him. What a Melvin.
Oh, or maybe these parentheses names, are they like their spouses? Because they seem to all be reversed gender-wise. Like Mark, parentheses, Doreen Molenkamp, then Cindy Peterson, then Robin, parentheses, Dave DeWitt. Robin could be a guy's name. But then there's a Larry and then parentheses Elaine Boesky and Jim parentheses Connie Boesky. Could that be their spouses, maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Funeral services will be held Tuesday, July 22nd, 2014 at 11 a.m. at Rush Creek Bible Church. Then they give the address with pastors Gary Liondecker and Gene Pearson officiating, double teaming it. Interment will be at Georgetown Cemetery. Relatives and friends may meet her family Monday from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8 p.m. at the Cook Funeral Home West Building, another address, and Tuesday at church from 10 to 11 a.m. Her family welcomes memories and messages in their guest book online at www.cookcares.com. Contributions in memory of Gert may be made to Rush Creek Ministries or Spectrum Hospice. So that was sweet, old Gert. A whole bunch of people she knew died before her, and then a bunch of other ones are still alive. You want to hear about James McClure?
If it's as interesting as Gert.
He's a real rascal. They have pictures with him, and he's let me post a link to this obituary.
So it's like a file photo with him with 100 cigarettes in his mouth.
I wonder. Was this really the best picture of James McClure? Let's see. There. Okay. So he looks like he had a little spunk in him right before the end. I assume this picture was taken on his deathbed.
Yeah, this is the corpse.
Okay, so James McClure, James Milton McClure. Do you have any dads named Milton? M.
Milton.
I have a couple.
How many dads do you have?
I got 10 dads.
Seven?
I got 7 dads.
Okay, so he was Milton here was 83. He was born September 8th, 1931 to Walter and Myra McClure. He passed July 15th, 2014, following a brief illness. Yeah, I guess he got sick and then immediately died. It was brief. Born and raised in Flint, Michigan, he served his country in the Army before attending General Motors Institute and the University of Michigan. A gifted mathematician, his career took him from teaching at Michigan Technological Institute to the avionics industry. He worked for Rockwell Collins in Cedar Rapids, Iowa? IA, is that Iowa? And Lear Indiana. Smith in, is it? Is IA is Indiana?
No, IN is Indiana.
Huh. Oh, yeah, Iowa. Okay. I was thinking it would be IO.
And Lear Smith Industries in Grand Rapids before retiring. Retirement allowed him to pursue his lifelong hobbies of bird watching. I didn't think anybody actually did that. I really didn't think anybody actually bird watched. I thought that was just something from Mr. Magoo cartoons.
I'll be on the phone with my moms and she'll be talking to me and then she'll go, "Oh, a painted bunting."
Mr. Magoo can't bird watch.
Did you just call your mom your moms?
Don't talk about my moms, yo.
Did I?
Yeah, I think you did. I'll be on the phone with my moms. And she'll be all like, "Damn, that's a bird, son."
I can't talk. I don't know why you let me come on the
No, it's
the
fine. You're street. You're from the streets. I get it. So he's into bird watching, cycling, golf, and bowling. He was into all kinds of old men. Cycling seems like the odd one out there. I can see old men being into bird watching, golf, and bowling. Cycling, I don't know.
Hey, man, bowling is a sport for all ages.
Could you imagine that face just coming at you on a bike?
I'd run away.
Down the sidewalk, just, on your left.
So happy.
Jim was preceded in death by his wife of 31 years, Edna Grace McClure. So in that case, maybe the name in parentheses, Grace, is maybe her maiden name. Her name was Edna Grace, and then she married him and became Edna McClure. I don't know. They're real. They play it real fast and loose with these parentheses and obituaries. And his brother, Walter Jr., those left to cherish his memory are his brother, Larry Wildwood, Florida. Yeah, see, now they're putting where he lives in the parentheses. Larry, who lives in Wildwood, Florida, and 3 children, Randy of Ann Arbor, Michigan. Why isn't that in parentheses? David Ginny, in parentheses, of Charleston, South Carolina, and Sherry, parentheses, Jeff Rayner of Kentwood, Michigan, as well as six grandchildren, Stefan, Megan, Jennifer, Shannon, Jacob, and Christopher, and many friends and acquaintances.
It's Stefan.
Jim's family, blah, blah, blah. They're going to put him in a box.
Grinning all the way down.
Let's see. Who else is spotlighted? Good old Chuck Smith, Charles Delano Smith, age 89, passed away peacefully at his home and entered into the presence of his Lord and Savior on Tuesday, July 16th, 2014. Mr. Smith was born on July 30th, 1924. Oh, man, he just missed his birthday. Just shy of his birthday. In Three Rivers, Michigan, the son of Gordon and Bessie. That's a good one. Bessie? What do you think of Bessie, Em?
It's a cow, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's okay to make fun of Bessie, but not Melvin?
Melvin is a cool name.
Yeah, sure.
There's a guy on the national spotlight named Johnny Winter, who was like a blues legend.
The national spotlight?
Yeah, I went to Obits/Obituaries/Grand Rapids. And I found a national spotlight slideshow, and it has Johnny Winter. He died on my birthday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see it. Yeah. Wow. So not only are they spotlighting obituaries, they're like spotlighting national obituaries. Are there people who are just like real into obituaries?
Also, there's a guest book thing where people like, I don't know, say stuff about him. And it's cycling through them, and there are multiple that reference the chain grocery store Piggly Wiggly.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
We all know Johnny Winter.
Y'all don't have those up there, right?
No.
No, yeah.
We have places that aren't called Piggly Wiggly up here.
Oh, come on. I'm big on the pig.
Wow.
That's their slogan.
That's the show quote for this week.
Yay!
I'll have to attribute it properly.
That's right.
Oh, and now you went robot.
Oh,
that was too much for my audio equipment. Yeah. We're going to get an NC-17 rating, Em.
I should have said too hype for Skype.
Well, I got to call you guys back. I got to reset this stream. That was just too much. Okay?
All
right. I'll call you right back. Man, sorry about that, guys. Cover your ears. All right, I'm back. I'm calling those jerks back. Hey, jerks.
Big on the pig.
Big on the pig. Maybe that'll just be the episode title.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Em hasn't picked up yet. Come on, Em. Get a real internet. So, Bames, what do you think of these obituaries, huh?
I don't know. I think it's funny that they're online.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if it would end up in the newspaper, it makes sense that it would end up online. But it's really funny to me that they spotlight them. Like, it's a competition. Yeah.
How shitty would it be to die and not get on the spotlight? Happens to a lot of people, I guess.
Right? Oh, here's a short one. Daniel Barron, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Daniel D. Barron died on July 8th, 2014. He was born January 11th, 1956 in Battle Creek, Michigan. Memorial service will be on Sunday, July 20th. Yeah, that's it. Oh, full obituary can be viewed at oldofieldfuneralhome.com.
Premium obits.
So this is like link bait.
Yeah. Is this a Gawker website?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
M?
Yes.
Casey Kasem did what now? His body is missing?
Body.
What happened to it?
There's a family dispute, and now they can't find his body.
How long ago did he die? I don't think I even knew he died.
At least a month ago, I think.
Okay, yeah, I might as well just read this then. So Em just linked me to this article. Casey Kasem's body is missing, daughter says. The family battle that surrounded radio host Casey Kasem during his final days continues to rage on after his death. I don't know anything about the family battle that surrounded his final days.
Well, basically, his wife stole him out of a nursing home.
Oh, she kidnapped him, huh?
Yep.
You know, if this was a movie, that would be seen as, like, sweet. You know, like, yep. I don't want him to spend his final days in a nursing home. I want him to die at home, because that's nicer.
And then he'll get terrible bed sores.
And she'd be, like, pushing him in a wheelchair in the middle of the night. He'd be all, like, Alzheimer's-y.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd cry a single tear and then die.
Yep.
Although the
stops her, but then he's like,
"Be safe, folks." Out of the good of his heart, go against traffic.
And he does it in the Shaggy voice.
Yeah.
Read a little further ahead.
Although the 89-year-old passed away more than a month ago on June 15th, his body has yet to be buried. Now, according to Danny Duraney, the publicist for Kasem's daughter, Carrie Kasem, the family doesn't know where Kasem's body is. We are not surprised, Carrie Kasem told CNN. We expected something like this to happen.
Yep, called it.
Almost
me $10.
Discord between Kasem's wife of more than 30 years, Jean Kasem, and his adult children from his first marriage led to multiple legal clashes and court hearings in the months before Kasem died. Carrie Kasem was given a conservatorship over her father's health, which Jean Kasem subsequently fought in court, claiming his children were prematurely ending their father's life. Duraney says Jean Kasem has now removed her husband's body from a funeral home in Washington State. She's walking down the street with it on her back. Like, how do you
wearing a mustache?
How do you steal a body?
Sorry,
I'm gonna join you, Casey.
Who will steal your body?
Coming to join my Lord and Savior.
I'm not surprised. I expected something like this to happen.
How do you steal a body?
You put it over your shoulders.
And then
it's like
you
ground
put
zeros.
A mustache on.
Is there ever a time when there isn't someone around? Like, I guess if you broke into the funeral home, but otherwise, yeah. Is there ever a time when you can sneak a body out?
In the dark of night.
Mm-hmm. You'd have to break in then, though.
They had a getaway vehicle.
This is a
carefully planned heist. He was in a vault.
Before Kasem's passing, Jean Kasem removed her ailing husband from a care facility in Santa Monica and took him on a cross-country car journey to stay at home. To stay at a home of family friend in Washington.
We're going across to see America, but we ended up finding ourselves.
She's weekend at Bernie's-ing his half-alive body. Sergeant Rudy Camarena with the Santa Monica Police Department declined to comment telling CNN, so he commented, "Mr. Kasem's matter is an open and ongoing investigation." Meanwhile, Jean Kasem denies that her late husband's body is missing. "It's not. It's not missing. I know where it is. I have it." "It's not," she told CNN. "Would you leave us to grieve in peace?" Candace Corkum at the Gaffney Funeral Home in Tacoma, Washington said, "I'm so embarrassed that we lost his body."
I don't know.
She just shrugged.
They looked behind the couch. Oh, there it is.
She confirmed that the facility had been in possession of Kasem's body, but said that it was no longer in their care. She could not provide information about the circumstances in which his body was removed from the funeral home.
Please, Candace, don't cork him.
Oh, man. Casey Kasem, body iced. Why? Why'd you do that?
I didn't. Why would I want Casey Kasem's body?
Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't I? Would I?
Is Casey not a cool enough name for you?
You're dodging the question.
No.
Swing the lamp.
I have nothing to gain from possessing Casey Kasem's body.
Except a new piece
of dollars.
Furniture.
On the black market.
I'm not holding his body for ransom at an undisclosed location.
Well, you could make him into a nice coffee table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just put some screws in his joints, some bolts.
Make sure to use a coaster.
Well, yep. What? I'll get the boys to do that.
You tweeted a while ago, and you tweeted it at Kyle and not me, even though this is my matter.
Are you
about that dude
jealousy?
Explaining
the rap dick?
Yeah, the rap dick.
Yeah, so I've got that. I've actually got that pulled up too. So the guy that cut his dick off and jumped out of a building.
Turns out he wasn't trying to kill himself. So thank God for that.
Whew.
He just needed to become beyond his dick.
Yeah, he just was like, this dick, it only gets me into trouble, and I'm a god, so I don't even need it. I don't even need a dick.
He's like, I'm fine now. I've been to a therapist, but honestly, I feel a lot better now that that dick's just gone.
So this guy, Andre Johnson, he's a rapper, and we talked about it a while ago. He cut his dick off and jumped out of a building, and everybody was kind of like, he must have been all fucked up on a lot of drugs. And
he was on PCP.
And he's like, yeah, I was on drugs, but I knew what I was doing.
Yeah, come on. Give me a little credit here.
He says, yes, I was using drugs that night, but I was in complete control. I cut it off because that was the root of all my problems. My solution to the problem was the realization that sex is for mortals and I am a god. Those kinds of activities got me into trouble, and I came here to be a god.
Hope it cuts his balls off too, because that ain't gonna help.
You'd think he'd have to be a little bit more of a well-known rapper to pull something off like that. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Get so full of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a little tacky when Eminem wrote a song called Rap God.
Yeah.
I don't even know you, Andre Johnson.
Come on.
If Eminem
also,
cut off
no
his dick.
No way he's going to be affiliated with the Wu-Tang Clan. He ain't got no dick.
I don't know.
How's he going to give the Killer Bees sting?
But he does say that he didn't want to kill himself. That was just my response to the demons. They were doing their best to get me, but being alive solidified my thoughts. I'm alive, penis or no penis.
Take that, Beelzebub.
Sounds like he's in control of his life.
Yeah, it's funny to me. Like, this is so crazy. And he said, yeah, he'd been seeing a psychologist, and after he was discharged, and they deemed him okay. They deemed him sane. Like, yeah,
stamped him not insane.
Yeah, they were like, I wonder what questions they asked him then, because if he goes into the psychologist's office and they're like, okay, so why did you cut your dick off and jump out of a building? And he's like, well, I'm a god, and my penis was getting me into trouble. So I cut my penis off because I'm a god and I don't need it.
I just figured I could do without all that business. And they're like, well, you know, that seems like the pragmatic thing to do.
Seems reasonable to me.
Well, they're all for it.
Why are you here? They're just like, honestly, I don't know why they checked you in for this.
Yeah, sorry. This is just a formality. Ugh. I'd spare you this if I could. Obviously, you're completely sane.
We're going to have to be in here for another 15 minutes. I got to make it look like I'm getting something done.
I wonder what his life's going to be like now with no dick.
It seems like he's having a great time.
Do you think he's got like a little bit of dick left? Like just a stump?
Well, he did use a serrated knife to...
So he's got like a flap, like a ragged flap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably also stitched it up a little bit when he was in the hospital, but yeah, he's probably just got a stump.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, because if he has a little bit of a stump, then I guess, I mean, it wouldn't be desirable, but I guess that could be okay. But if he's got no stump, I wonder how it functions at that point.
Like, how does he pee?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about, is how does he pee? Obviously, he's done with all that sex stuff, because he's a god. But how does he pee?
He's got balls, though.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, he needs a little bit of dick. You got to have a little bit of the wild card in there still.
Well, maybe he can borrow a dick.
Now he's only a demigod.
Maybe he's gay and in the closet, and this is his way of finding an excuse to borrow dick. So now he's going to be like, oh, man, I ain't got no dick. Can I borrow your dick?
Then he just starts shearing one off of somebody else. I don't get that.
Well, it's just
no. It's just a pickup line.
It's just so you can
girls don't
handle
use
dick
line.
Can I borrow your dick, Em? Have you ever?
I have a cup of dicks.
You ever ask a guy if you can borrow his dick?
Yeah.
Have they ever?
Mostly for things around the house.
Do they turn you down or?
Yeah.
They go for it. You just want to do like some DIY projects.
Yep.
Like I gotta build this treehouse.
Walk up with a caulk gun. Welder's mask.
Oh, I'm just imagining using it as a hammer.
Check it out. It's a Rube Goldberg machine.
It's not very effective.
Well, I mean, it depends on the state that it's in.
You can have a bunch of dicks that fall down like dominoes.
What?
Rube Goldberg machines. That's what I think of when I think of DIY projects.
I think usually when people say DIY projects, they're talking about like building stuff around the house, not Rube Goldberg machines.
Building a complex project around the house just to do something simple.
Yeah, I don't think that's usually what people mean. I think it's usually like building a deck.
Dick it yourself.
You could build a dick deck.
Uh-huh.
Build a deck out of dicks.
Really squishy.
They do call it wood.
Oh, that's why. CJ just linked to an Amazon page for a Go Girl. And it was because they were talking about how he gonna pee.
Yeah, we talked about the Go Girl a million years ago.
It's still weird. It's still just a funnel.
Yeah. It's revolutionary. You ever use a Go Girl, Em?
No, but we did sell them at the place I worked.
For ladies? Just any old lady or like for people with problems or something?
The place I worked, it was a medical supply place, but they kind of were trying to cater towards women. So they had like fake boobs and stuff for post-mastectomy.
Yeah. Is the Go Girl really considered a medical supply?
I think of it as more of a marital.
No, but it's like a, I don't know, aids to daily living, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, congratulations. We'll be sending you a free Go Girl to try out and review for the show.
Yay. Wait,
the colors
the one
you
thing
can get
I thought
this in
about
khaki
that.
Or lavender.
What are you going to do with the back dripping? I mean...
The back dripping?
Well, I'm just saying, your vajayjay is going to, like, you got to wipe.
That's why it has, like, a hermetic seal over there. It all gets out.
What you do is you also carry, like a dust buster with you, and there's an attachment. So when you when you get done, you hook the funnel up to the dust buster, and then it sucks all the drips off.
Just get a vacuum up there.
Yeah, I think you actually do, like, you have a napkin. Like, it's just, the whole thing makes no sense because you're doing it for convenience. But then you got to get in there, pull your pants down anyways, and wipe with a napkin.
Well, you got to pull your pants down anyways.
Well, that's not the point of the Go Girl, though. Like,
no, the point is that you're standing up so you don't have to squat down in the poison ivy when you have to piss all over the ground, you animal.
Well, you could just kind of have it in there all the time. Just, like, stick it in your pants. I mean, you'd look a little funny.
Yeah, if you're a female-to-male transgender.
But you could just have, like, the Go Girl, like, in your pants and then have, like, a hose that comes up. And then you could, like, unzip your fly and the hose comes out.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But
you look like the mouth of a Japanese octopus.
But you would probably, like, there'd be a length of hose that goes down. So when you're done, unless you piss really forcefully, there'd probably be, like, you know, piss collected in that hose. And then you're just walking around with a piss hose.
There just seems to be more problems than convenience from the item.
Well, it's synthetic, so
it's not entirely well thought out.
No.
Is the baseline.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Well, great, Em.
What?
Where's the go guy? Miss Andrew.
Yeah, I want to divide.
Where's a whitener for piss for men? Just a mist setting.
I want a device that lets me pee sitting down, finally.
Silencer, you got the loudener. This one's for shooting down
like
these helicopters.
Em, men can't pee sitting down. It's not possible.
I think it is.
Not if you have a constant erection.
Who's got the penis here, Em?
Well, you need to go to a doctor then.
I'd appreciate it if you didn't invalidate my daily lived experiences.
My lived experience where I always have a boner and I can't piss.
Yeah. It's not my fault everyone's so sexy. Mm-hmm. Okay. My work had an ice cream social.
Oh, cool. So did you avoid that?
I did, but the reason I avoided it wasn't just my normal reason. My normal reason being I don't like anyone. But, okay, so my work had an ice cream social. My work had an ice cream social, which is fucking insane. Like, nobody has ice cream socials. That's for girls in the 50s.
So ice cream social is just you come over and there's ice cream?
Yeah, it's just here's some ice cream, eat it in the break room. That's what an ice cream social is, according to my work. But
cool.
So I came into work one day and there was a survey sitting on my desk. It's the ESOP Communication Committee Employee Survey. ESOP being an abbreviation for Employee Stock Ownership Plan. And it says the ESOP Communication Committee, which is just a group of ladies at my work. They need our feedback. Please circle the answers that best describe your agreement with each of the following statements. Your participation will help us identify how employees relate to the ESOP and how the committee can improve its performance. Your completed survey is your ticket to the ice cream social next Tuesday. Bring your survey. Enjoy a summer treat. So they're trying to bribe us with ice cream to complete this survey. And if they're willing to bribe us with ice cream, you would think that there was something at least mildly important or utilitarian about this survey. It's really pretty dumb. So we've got this employee stock ownership plan, which basically means they gave all of us employees a little bit of stock so that they can call us employee owners and then brag about how we're an employee-owned company. But we can't do anything with that stock. Nothing changes for us because we own that stock. We don't get any say in anything. We don't get any money. The only way you can even access it is when you've become vested, which I think you have to be there for 7 years and then you either quit or retire. And the questions they asked I guess they're not questions. You're supposed to say whether you agree or you don't agree or you're not sure are real dumb. Like, I care about the employee stock ownership plan. Yes or no.
Nice.
I understand in general terms what it is. I'm interested in learning more about how it works. Employee ownership motivates people to do a better job. No. Being an employee owner is important to me. No. The ESOP motivates me to work harder and or smarter. No. Information about the ESOP is communicated to me. I guess in the form of ice cream socials. Opportunities for ESOP participation are available to me. I guess, like, there's no participation other than that we have stock. I appreciate the activities offered by the ESOP committee. There are none up until this ice cream social. The ESOP committees add value to the company. The ESOP committees implement ideas to improve the company. No and no. I know how to find answers to my questions about the ESOP. I don't have any. I understand the annual ESOP statement I get from the company. I mean, yeah, it's just a stock report. The ESOP helps make the company more successful. No. In the long run, I think I will be better off financially because of the ESOP. I guess technically, since it's sort of like a retirement fund. But that's what it is. So it was a survey for me to justify this committee's existence, which they don't need to exist, and to blow them about how awesome it is that we're an employee-owned company. If I had filled this out and used this as my ticket to the ice cream social, it would have been a whole bunch of no's. And I'm looking at this and I don't understand this sort of corporate culture stuff. Like, I don't understand how you could write this survey up and not think that everybody's going to lie on it.
Yeah. That's what working in an office does to you, man.
Yeah.
Businessman. I was thinking of more like a soft survey.
Ice cream jokes.
High five.
Mint chocolate chip. Cliff Clash sucks. Stop it.
So did you get ice cream or not?
No.
What type of ice cream you get?
I would have had to turn this survey in to get ice cream.
I got some ice cream.
I didn't want them to buy me off with ice cream.
I didn't want your business ice cream,
your
man.
Dirty business ice cream.
This ice cream tastes like lies.
I really, really hate this stuff. Like, it's so dumb. There isn't a single employee in that building who could honestly say that being an employee owner is important to them, or that they care about the committee, or that the committee adds value to the company. The committee literally doesn't do anything except that they made this survey and hosted an ice cream social. I really, really hate this kind of stuff. And like the employee newsletter that they send around. Did I tell you that they talked about making me employee of the month?
Really?
Yeah, which is dumb. They have it's dumb that they have an employee of the month. And it's employee owner of the month, because they're really trying to play up the fact that we're an employee owned company. So it's not just employee of the month, it's employee owner of the month. And they put out this newsletter every month where they spotlight this employee of the month, and they put a little picture there, and they write a bunch of bullshit that they don't mean about how great this person is.
Picture in the paper.
Yeah. It's real.
Like, listen to your podcast and they're like, wow, this sucks.
It's real generic shit about like, they're a really hard worker and they always go above and beyond and they always, and blah, blah, blah. Like real generic stuff that you could say about anybody. And it's a lie about everybody.
I used to write those newspapers. It used to be one of my jobs.
Did you feel like a terrible person doing it?
No, because I was pretty loyal to the company, so I felt like I was doing something important at the time until they let me go. And I was like, oh, this place sucks.
Did you enjoy it? Because I really don't understand this. And I would love an insight into this kind of mindset, like who enjoys these newsletters and stuff and why.
I wouldn't say I enjoyed it, but I believed what I was doing was important.
Well, what kind of stuff did you do in the newsletter that you thought was important?
Just like explaining things and helping morale and things like that. I was naive.
Maybe. I don't know. I cannot. Well, somebody in the chat just, C. McNichol said, I think you give your coworkers too much credit. There are stupid people everywhere. And maybe, like, because I was going to say that I don't see how this kind of stuff could boost morale for anybody. Like, these newsletters are real dumb. Like I read one of them on the show once. Like, there were tips, like, how to save the company money. Like, don't print a lot of things you don't need to print. Well, yeah, duh.
70 cents right in the bag.
Yeah, and they do that. They'll put figures for how much money we could save if we cut our printing by 10% or whatever. Like, no shit. I know it costs money. Like, you're using paper and you're using ink. I am well aware.
Cost of business.
And like, there was one thing that was like about heating, like, don't use a space heater near your desk or something. I don't know. It's real stupid shit that I can't imagine anybody caring about. Like, they just needed to plug stuff into this newsletter. And then there'll be like, I guess people enjoy this stuff, but like, they'll have trips, like some weekend we'll all go to a ball game. like there's like a local baseball team. The Grand Rapids something. I don't remember.
I bet it's the Panthers.
Nah, it's something water related. I can't remember what it is, though. Oh, the Breakers, maybe? Or maybe that's a different... I don't know. Whatever, it doesn't matter. But we all get together and go to this baseball game. And then one time they had a bowling outing. And it's really funny because they'll send emails over and over and over again. And it seems really desperate. Like, if you haven't signed up for the bowling outing, you're running out of time. It's not too late, though. You could still sign up for the bowling. I don't know how many people end up going to these things, but.
Man, you know what's the best? Bowling with a bunch of people I don't care about.
Well, that's how I feel about it. So I wonder, like, are there people who genuinely, like, they get that email and they're like, holy shit, I could go bowling with people from work.
Well, what they're
trying
to,
best of both worlds together at last.
What they're trying to do is like encourage people to make relationships and make it easier for people to talk to each other and communicate. Like that's, and I know that you're not into that, but
you want to make relationships, tear down the cubicles. This office is free, open air. Maybe
just
get
saying,
some.
Like if you don't know somebody at work or somebody's like over your supervisor and you're really uncomfortable because you don't know that person and you never talk to them and then you get pushed into a situation where you have to, then the idea is that you'll actually end up talking to the person and be like, oh, this isn't so bad. And then when you have to do something work related, then you're not like, oh, I'm just going to avoid talking to this person and get this done.
I consider a nice lamp for lighting instead of your fluorescence. Something that gives off UV lights, maybe.
I don't
know. Doesn't it make you want to just curl up and fall asleep?
Yeah. I figure if you're like super nervous to talk to people at work, then unless bowling just really relaxes you, then you're probably going to have the same problem at a bowling outing with a bunch of people that you're nervous around at work.
It depends on how socially anxious you are. Like, some people just have a hard time starting to talk to people.
Sure, but why would bowling make that easier?
Because you're all invested in doing a group thing, and, you know, you're all there, and ideas to relax. You know, you're kind of relaxed because you're not working, and you talk about different things.
They think of it as team building, but if you're already predisposed to not really caring about the people at your work, then it's not really going to change much.
Yeah, the only way I could see this working the way that they want it to, and honestly, I don't even think they think about it this hard. I think they established all these committees to make us seem like we're doing something, and I think the committees have to come up with things to do, and it's a bunch of dumb old girls, and they're like, well, I don't know, we could go bowling. I don't think that they're really thinking about it even as a team building exercise, but if they are, I figure the only people that that's going to work on are like people who desperately want to be friends with everyone at work but are too shy. And like maybe they'll go out bowling and they'll, oh, I really want to talk to these people. And maybe they'll luck out and some more gregarious coworker will come up to them and start talking to them.
I hope my coworker notices me today.
Yeah, exactly. Like I am picturing it like a shy anime girl
running out to the bowling alley with a piece of toast in your mouth.
Yeah. I'm so excited about the company bowling tournament.
Ooh-wah.
I don't get it, man. And all this stuff is so fake and gay. It's really fake and gay.
Yeah.
There was another survey that was about, I forget what it got me into. It also served as a ticket to something. I think like muffins or something or apples. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. It was
apples?
Fruit. That's what it was. It was fruit. Because the other survey was about, it was from one of the other committees, the health committee. Why do we have a health committee? Because the company wants to pretend that it cares about our health. When in reality, the reason they're doing that is because they've recently started actually charging us for our health insurance, which is fine, except that they didn't used to do it. So because it was a bad thing, they're trying to spin it into a good thing by making it that the company actually cares about our health. That's why they're testing us, not because they want to be able to not pay for it when we fail the tests, but because they want to make sure we're healthy because they care. They don't. But yeah, so because it was the health survey, the reward was fruit. I didn't fill that one out either, but it was more of the same bullshit. Like, oh, what do you think about, like, do you think that the company cares about your health? No. It's just a bunch of garbage. And what are they going to do with that survey anyway? Like with this survey, if I did turn this in and I said no to everything, would they be like, oh, well, I guess we are worthless. I guess we'll disband. I don't understand the point of it. I think it really is just busy work. Like, we need to make it look like we're doing something. We need to justify our own existence. Because it is really stupid that there's a committee of employee owners who just sit around and try to think of ways to bring up the fact that we're employee owners.
Yeah.
It is kind of ironic that they spend that much time doing that type of stuff, and then it's like, you know, I could be working right now.
Yeah, well, that's funny, too, because they... I don't know if they do this on company time or if they're actually volunteering to do this in their off time. That's even crazier if that's the case.
Look, America needs jobs. We need people to just run around in circles and pretend like they're doing something.
I guess. I don't know.
We approve of the funding for the new tank that just spins around in a circle and blows up.
Well, I hate...
So, people. My week,
would you?
It
do?
Was it was Happy Bames Strong.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but it was is Bames week.
I'm trying to push this.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen.
It was my birthday, and because I'm a grown man, on my birthday I like to just aggregate everything I would have like bought video games wise over the summer and just get it all on my birthday instead, and wait, make myself wait for no reason. So I bought that Shovel Knight game on my Wii U, and it's really, really good. It is way better even than I thought it would be.
You make him bounce a whole bunch?
Yeah, you can bounce like a DuckTales. You can shovel up a pile. There's a part in the town where there's this dude who's like, whoa, nice shovel, but you wouldn't be Shovel Knight, would you? Prove yourself. Shovel up that pile over there, and then you shovel up the pile and he just goes nuts. He's like, yeah, awesome, you're Shovel Knight. So it's a really cute game. There's all sorts of pun. There's a character that's just a frog that just all he does is tell you a pun and then like engorge his frog thing, croak and stuff. And all the levels are super fun. The controls are really tight. It looks really pretty and it has a really nice soundtrack. And yeah, I like pretty much everything about it.
So there's
it's got a little map like Yoshi's Island on it.
It's like more akin to Super Mario Bros. 3, or actually like Zelda 2.
So there's a lot of pile shoveling action.
Well, yeah, treasure is located in the form of like gems, and sometimes you can just find gems, you know, like floating in the air. And sometimes you can find them in treasure chests, and sometimes you can find them in piles of like rubbish that you shovel up and then gems fly out. And actually at the end of every level, you're by a campfire and you wake up and you can shovel the campfire to get gems and get like an achievement or this game's equivalent of it.
Achievements, huh?
Yeah. It's called the Only You. It's like, you know, little in-game ones for doing all the crazy stuff in the game. They have cute little names. And it has like roaming enemies, like the Hammer Brothers style things of these other adventurers that you fight. And one of them is Zubaz, who was recommended by this one Let's Play channel because he's an old canceled Street Fighter 2 character that is a really cool guy with like bandoliers and a rope whip and like lightning on his arms named Zubaz. And so he's in the game. Oh, yeah. There's this place that's really neat that I found just today called the Hall of Heroes, which is like the place where if you were a Kickstarter backer for the game and you gave them enough money, you could be in the Hall of Heroes as like a portrait and you'd send them a picture. So you go in there and you pay like 5,000 gold to get in there. But then it turns out it's haunted inside and you have to defeat all the ghosts. And then once you do that, the rooms all light up and you can look at all the portraits, and you go outside and the lady outside is like, oh yeah, I probably should have told you it was haunted before charging you entry, but I guess that's what you get when you pay for something without knowing what it is. Ha 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 ha. Kickstarter. Good thing that game actually turned out good.
So there's a character named after those crazy pants?
Yeah, Zubaz. In the game, he's just called the Baz.
The Baz?
Yeah. He wants to defeat you because he thinks that if you kill a knight, you get all his powers.
Do you?
I don't know. I beat him.
Well, are the bosses knights?
Yeah, the bosses are all knights, and you don't actually get their powers.
Oh, that's lame.
So no. But you can get, in each of their stages, there's like a special item. The game has relics that are like Castlevania sub-weapons, except you always have them. And they rely on like a magic meter. and you can just switch between them. And in each stage, you can get something that's representative of like an enemy or a boss attack in that stage. And then there are special stages because those items can be used for like navigation. Like there's one that makes you invincible for like a second and a half, and you use that to traverse this level that's covered in like insta-kill Mega Man spikes. So it's fun. It's very, very fun game. And all the knights are really cool too. They're all really inspired. They're like Spectre Knight, who is like the Grim Reaper, and King Knight, who's just a king, and Mole Knight, who digs underground and he's got lava everywhere, and Plague Knight, who's like a Black Plague doctor. He's got one of those bird masks. It's all fun.
Did you beat them all up?
Mm-hmm. I beat all of the eight main bosses, and now I'm on like the Wily's Castle. The main bosses are called the Order of No Quarter.
Huh?
And the whole point of the game is you're trying to rescue this other knight whose name is like Shield Knight, and she's basically
she's a girl,
man. Yeah.
Oh, Bames. She's been damseled.
No, but it's because she got injured.
Yeah.
She's really cool.
Yeah, of course she got
and
injured.
I think you can play as her in New Game Plus. She's like Proto Man and also Zero.
Zero was supposed to be a girl.
Yeah, Zero was what the creator of Mega Man wanted Mega Man to look like.
A bitch.
Yeah.
I can't believe you played a game where they damseled a girl.
No, but at the end you get to like team up with her and she's cool. And Shovel Knight's way less cool when she's not around by comparison. They're a perfect team.
Mm-hmm.
What does she do?
She has a big shield and she hops on stuff.
You know,
and at the end of each like segment of like three or four bosses, you have a dream sequence where she's falling from the sky and you have to catch her because he's really into Shield Knight. He thinks she's so cool.
Wow.
And he's very upset that she is captured by the Enchantress.
Are you writing fan fiction about Shield Knight?
Mm-hmm. This is also a game where the main bad guy is a girl. So, yeah, sexism.
So even in the dream sequences, she needs to be rescued
because she's falling from the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just don't understand, Kyle.
I can't believe it.
Falling from the sky like an object.
Get Anita on the horn.
You know, Bames, it's okay to enjoy problematic media, but you still need to acknowledge that it's problematic.
I think I did
There's no
see
indication of Shovel Knight's gender anyways. There might be. I don't know. I don't pay attention.
That's even worse. They had to tell you that the girl was a girl, but everybody just assumes that the guy is a guy.
Yeah. There's this part in one of the towns where there's this dude with a horn and he's like, man, horns are just the best instrument ever. If only you had one, we could play a duet. And then you get this horn item later on that is like an area clearer. It kills everything that's near you, but it's really expensive mana-wise, and if you go near him and you play the horn, then he plays his horn and he refills your magic, and that's all he does. It's pretty cool. It's a game with a lot of heart.
Is it like is it like open worldy? Like
no, it's just it is kind of open worldy. Like there's levels on the map, but then there are also town areas that you can go to.
Okay.
As you please.
I see.
So it's like Zelda 2.
Gotcha. And then you go visit the horn guy. You play horns together.
Play horns together.
Go visit the frog. Tells you a pun.
Yep, there's another frog who is having a bad day, and you can tell him puns, but he just shakes his head.
He's not having like it. Yeah. You get to pick the puns that you tell him?
No, you get to pick between the dialogue options, and and whichever one you pick, he chooses one from a list that they have.
Hmm. I wonder if
And there's a Trouple, which is half trout, half apple. It's a big fish, and there's this guy called the Trouple King who you can meet in a pond, and he gives you a special item. He like squirts this juice into a chalice, and he does a dance that's really intricate and like 3.5 minutes long, and it's there for no reason, and you can watch it whenever you want. And there's like an acolyte in the town who's like, all hail the Trouple King. Long may his stem grow.
This game sounds like it thinks it's real cute.
Yeah, but it does the cute thing in a way without like pointing a big arrow at itself and being like, look how cute we are.
I don't know, man. There's a frog that just tells puns.
Yeah, because it's a fun world.
I'm pretty sure you played a game, Kyle, where there's like cupcakes and kittens and shit.
No, see, there's a difference between me saying this game sounds real cute and this game sounds like it thinks it's real cute.
It does it a lot better than other games that purport themselves to be funny or cute.
Give it a chance.
I'll give you a chance.
I has to go bed.
Yeah. Well, say hi to Melvin for me.
Fine, because I'm going to see my dad tomorrow, and I'm not going to tell him you said that.
Then how is that? I said say hi to Melvin for me, and you said fine, and then you said you weren't going to do it.
Yep.
That, you don't even make any sense.
I'm a girl. What do you want me to do? Just think, I have roommates that have to listen to me all the time.
Cowboys.
They're not cowboys.
Oh, Em, you should get some Indian roommates.
Then
you can play cowboys and Indians.
You should get some, like, Hindu roommates.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I don't know any Hindu people.
Well, I think you need to start going to those company bowling events. So you can meet some new Hindus.
Come here, Vishnu.
Mace Hindu.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you have a nice rest of the show.
I refuse.
Well, too bad. You can have a nice show anyways.
All right. Don't sex your dad.
Ugh, gross. All right, bye.
Bye.
It's so gross not having sex with my dad.
Ugh, gross. So, abstinence. Dad abstinence. Gross.
Dadstinence.
Yeah.
So apart from that game, I started rewatching Kill la Kill because it was my birthday.
Happy birthday to you. How was it?
It was pretty good. I'm on like episode... The last one I watched was the one where they're doing the raid trip and Ryuko is going to get all the pieces of Senketsu back.
When she's riding around on that cool bike?
On that motorcycle, and she rides it right into Gamaguri's face.
She looks pretty cool riding that bike.
It's pretty good. I think that's my favorite episode of like anything. Because that's the one that has like those four dudes with the animal spirits, and that's the one that has Takarada in it.
The guy, the rich guy?
Yeah. The loads of money guy?
Yeah.
And when Mako is just going around town buying all the takoyaki.
I like that, that rich guy, like, I mean, I guess he kind of gets his ass kicked sort of in the end.
Kind of gets his ass boned.
But before that though, like he kind of holds his own for a while and the whole time he's talking about how powerful money is. And I feel like a lesser show would have given him his comeuppance for relying on money. Like,
yeah, he just gets his comeuppance for, like, not being cool enough.
Yeah, but not for, like, being too greedy and too materialistic or whatever. Like, it ends up actually being basically true, all the things he says about how important money is.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the one where Gamaguri and his disciplinary team are throwing rule books at dudes that wear meat armor because it gets caught up in the delicious marbling of the Kobe beef.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
It's a pretty good show. It's a pretty good show. Oh, man.
Ah, jeez. Somebody's garage door is opening. What a pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went and I bought a lot of video games for like $8 each in the bins.
I did even less things than I normally do. I worked 10-hour days all this week.
Wow.
Yeah. It was real lame. And then the rest of my time was pretty much spent watching animes. I don't know when, sooner or later, I'm either going to run out of animes or I'm just going to be not interested anymore.
Yeah, you're going to crash.
But I've you're watched peaking. So many. And it's been weeks and weeks now.
You're building up a tolerance.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I'm going to become superhuman.
I need anime just to feel normal.
I think I've just been in like a weird mood lately. And by lately, I mean like for months now, I guess. Mm-hmm. But like I get, I think I've sort of mentioned this before. Like there are certain movies that put me in a weird mood. Like Lost in Translation is one of them. When I watch Lost in Translation, when I get to the end of it, like when it's over, I feel sort of sad, in a weird way, because it's not like I'm crying or anything, but like just sort of a weird melancholy feeling. There are other movies that do that to me too, and I don't know what it is exactly about them that does it. Like Meet Joe Black does it to me, puts me in this weird melancholy mood. And I feel like I've been sort of in that mood a lot lately. And these animes are making me cry. Not all of them. The one about the guy making the shitty multiple choice choices where he embarrasses himself in front of his classmates didn't do it. But that Anohana did it.
Oh, you watched Anohana, yeah.
About the sad ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one got the old waterworks going.
It's about childhood friends. I don't know why that's such a Japanese thing.
Well, it's specifically like the phrase, like the,
yeah,
I don't really know of anybody who talks about their childhood friend.
I guess they always say it like that because they must have a word in Japan that means that.
Yeah. But yeah, that was real sad. And there was, there's a movie at the end and I watched that too. Oh, I also watched the Haruhi movie.
Oh, yeah. That's a pretty good movie. I liked it.
I liked that better than most of the episodes of the show. Although, even at the end of that, like, it's kind of this, it's not this, that show isn't as bad, but, like, one of my biggest gripes with animes is that, like, they cling so hard to the status quo. Like,
yeah, nothing, it's like comic books.
Nothing ever develops.
Maybe because a lot of them are based off comic books.
Yeah, and I mean, some of them, it kind of makes more sense than others. Like, when I was watching Ranma, like, there's like a million episodes of that, and it's very episodic. Like, it really doesn't...
Yeah, it's a serial.
Yeah.
That's what all these Narutos are about.
Yeah. But a lot of shows that don't really seem like they should be that still really resist development. Like, anything mm-hmm. changing. And it's really... frustrating. And I feel like Haruhi does that to an extent.
Yeah. But it does a good job of like making itself home in like the normalcy of something new every week. No real big change.
Yeah. Well, I also kind of hate Haruhi herself.
Yeah. Like, she's the worst.
She's just an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
She's just a terrible person.
Yeah.
And I get the impression that the main dude, Kyung, or whatever, that he's supposed to be, like, that the show wants him to be falling in love with her, but that it isn't really happening.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is interesting. And I don't blame him, but I don't know if I'm supposed to think, like, that's developing more than it actually is. I don't know. He's like they solved that one issue by him kissing her. Like, that's the big solution to one of the major plot problems or whatever.
Yeah, but then they don't do anything. But
yeah, then that. Nothing comes of that whatsoever on either side. Plus, it's also one of those shows where, like, the story wouldn't happen if people actually talked to each other.
Mm-hmm. It's all misunderstanding.
Yeah.
You know what game's a big misunderstanding? Metal Gear Solid 4. When I'm thinking about it now, because isn't it at the end like Liquid blows, or like, you know, they shut down GW and then Liquid's like, oh, that's fine. Whatever. We could have just like hashed this out.
I don't remember it that well, I guess.
Or maybe it's like it was my plan all along. I also don't remember it incredibly well.
Yeah, I do. I really don't remember it that well anymore. But I do feel like wasn't like the whole Liquid Ocelot thing, like he underwent like hypnosis or something to like make himself think that he was possessed by Liquid.
Okay, so MGS2, he has Liquid's arms and he's for real possessed by Liquid. And then he decides that's too messy because, you know, at the end, Liquid totally takes over and he jumps into the sea with the ray. And so he gets a cyborg arm instead. And then he's like, but you know what? Liquid's pretty cool. So I'm just going to be Liquid.
I honestly thought that like that they retconned the whole thing that like he was never actually possessed by Liquid. Like they thought, well, that's a step too far.
Nope. They just in the part where he notices like, hey, he has a cyborg arm now. It's like, oh, yeah, he switched it up.
Huh. But so like, doesn't it sort of turn out that like Liquid Ocelot's been doing all this bad shit, but somehow like they're on the same side, kind of?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, yeah, really, I haven't played it in forever. And I remember being really upset, or not upset, but disappointed when I read the that they had that like DLC document that explained everything. Like it talks about like Raiden going and saving Olga's daughter and all this stuff, and like there's a bunch, I can't remember any of it now though, but there was a bunch of disappointing details filled in. Like weird coincidences, like they try too hard to get everybody involved, you know, like
just tie everything up.
Yeah, like all the characters from Metal Gear Solid 3 have to somehow be related to characters from the later games.
Yeah, did you know Sigint is the DARPA chief?
Yeah, all that kind of shit. There's a lot of that. Well, I think I actually have already run out of shit to talk about.
Yeah, I mean,
I talked about everything in my show notes. I played Love Plus. We talked about the rapper cutting his own dick off. I talked about my stupid work survey.
Off our minds.
Read some obituaries. Another
game called Bravely Default that you might have heard of.
I have.
It's a 3DS game. It's like a Final Fantasy style game.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's so bland, but it's like good. Because like the systems are all like the best this kind of game has really ever been. And it works fine within everything. And all the characters are like cool and stuff. And the art direction is great. But overall, like it's just like, yeah, it's a good game. Whatever.
I've heard that it's
super interesting.
A bit of a throwback in some sense or another. But I don't really know much about it. The only other thing I can think of that I've really heard about it is that, and I think they modified this for the US release, but like that there's a little girl in skimpy clothing.
Yeah, there are outfits, and in the US version they took away some of the bathing suits that were very revealing, which I mean, I'm for that, I guess.
I'm
for less lollies in swimsuits.
I really just don't care either way. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it's fine. It's not the kind of censorship where I would be like, but I really wanted that though.
The artist's vision.
Although, I mean, I do kind of think like just bring the game over, but
yeah,
whatever. I don't really care either way.
Oh, did you hear about Girl Thor?
Oh yeah. That's right. So, Thor is a girl now, but not exactly like the title of Thor, which is also Thor's name. Like she has the hammer now. But yeah. Thor is still like, around.
Yeah, like Thor's whole deal is that like if he lets go of the hammer for a while, somebody can just pick it up and be Thor. Doctor Doom did that for a while. So now there's a new Thor, and like it's just the title Thor, and she doesn't get the name Thor, I guess. Does she get the name Thor?
I don't. It's a little confusing to me because Thor is also his name, right?
Yeah, he's Thor, the god of thunder.
So he is still Thor, even when he's not Thor, even when somebody else is Thor.
Mm-hmm. He's just Thor the dude now.
But yeah, I read a little bit about it. Like, I guess he couldn't pick up the hammer anymore for some reason, and then she picked up the hammer, and now he fights with an axe or something. I don't know.
I think the design is cool. I always liked how, like, Valkyries look and stuff.
I did see some people complaining about boob plate, which I think is a silly thing to complain about. And I guess I didn't really see this, but I guess some people are complaining about the fact that Thor is a girl now, which I don't.
Yeah, I think is stupid. Like, I mean, the Thor movie, they had pretty much girl Thor.
I guess
and that worked fine.
I guess I could see, like, in a way, this is sort of like, I can't think of an example right now, but like if you were I remember before the Amazing Spider-Man movie came out, before anything was really known about it, there was some talk of, and I think this was just like a complete rumor started by people on Twitter or something, but about, Donald Glover, who is a black guy playing Peter Parker, which was, as far as I know, never actually going to happen. It just was a rumor people started. And some people were upset about that because Peter Parker isn't black. And I don't particularly care, and I like Donald Glover, so I would have been fine with it. But I do understand complaining about that. I don't think it's a huge deal, but I do understand people not wanting their characters to be changed.
Yeah, I do. I understand the rationale of, like, why don't you just make a new character? But then also I understand that they want to brand it as, like, Spider-Man or whatever.
But
the thing with, like, a black Spider-Man, there is a black Spider-Man right now. I think Ultimate Spider-Man.
But he's not Peter Parker, though, is he?
Yeah, he's Miles Morales.
Yeah, I've heard of that guy.
Which, yeah, making Peter Parker black, I could actually see a problem with, considering that, like, if you're going to make a superhero black and you're going to make, like, a deal of it, then you're probably going to, you know, play off of stereotypes to some degree. And the black experience, for lack of a better term, would differ from, like, what makes Peter Parker kind of great, in that he's a total nerd idiot who just happens to get superpowers. And I feel like that might not work as well with a black protagonist, but also I feel like they could just write around it fine.
Yeah, and they also didn't really, like, in the Amazing Spider-Man movies, they did a kind of a piss poor job of making him a nerd.
Yeah, they made him a skater instead.
Yeah.
Like, they also made him destined to be the chosen one.
They sort of played, paid some lip service to the idea that he was a nerd, but like it didn't really work.
They did a lot better in the Sam Raimi ones, of making him just a complete loser who can't do anything right. Tobey Maguire is an excellent loser.
Yeah.
Idiot.
They're redoing the Fantastic Four, right? Or at least they were talking about it.
I don't know.
I think they were talking about redoing the Fantastic Four, and they were going to make Johnny Storm black.
Okay.
And isn't he, but they weren't going to make Sue Storm black and their brother and sister, and people were complaining about that.
I could see that kind of, but also you could work around that.
You could absolutely work around that. But I can understand, like, I can understand being annoyed by that, because, like, why are you changing my characters in the first place? And it's clear at that point that the reason you're doing it is because you wanted a black Johnny Storm. Because it doesn't actually make sense. You will have to write around it.
Mm-hmm. Or just have some consistency.
Yeah. But so I don't think it's a big, like a huge deal, but I do understand people complaining about it. So if the deal with Thor was like, Thor is just a woman now, from now on, that's who Thor is, I could kind of see people being annoyed by that. But that kind of isn't the deal. Like, there's a story reason why Thor is a girl now, and Thor isn't really a girl now. Like, the Thor that you...
just new girl Thor. But yeah. I have seen people being like, you know, Odin never really wanted girls to be the warriors on his team, which is just like, fuck off.
Well, even if that's the case, that, like, that could be the plot. Like, she's, you know, rebellious in that sense or something.
But, free your mind.
So yeah, I don't think like it's a big deal. Like I almost feel like if you completely misunderstood who I am, you could expect me to complain about this.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think it's a big deal at all.
I think there's also a black Captain America now. Like they're redoing the Avengers comics.
Okay.
So they're redesigning some characters, which Black Captain America, I think, is interesting, at least because that story would not have worked at the time that Captain America was created.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, time period wise, if it's going to be like, is he going to be a World War II guy?
Maybe it'll also be like not Steve Rogers. Like, yeah. Like a new person, like new Thor.
That's another thing. Like, even if it is supposed to be, like, even if they give them the same name, but it's just sort of a reboot, like, that happens all the time for all kinds mm-hmm. of reasons in comics.
Yeah, remember when Batman became a pirate and a caveman?
I don't, but it doesn't terribly surprise me.
Yeah, and a detective in the Victorian era.
Remember when Wolverine became a skeleton?
Yeah. God, I loved that. He was just in lava being a skeleton. And he's just like, oh my God. But he was fine.
But yeah, so they reboot and do like alternate universes and stuff with comic book characters all the time. So
yeah,
whatever. Mm-hmm. And even like if you're talking about movies, which we're not really with this female Thor thing, but I was with like the Fantastic Four and the Amazing Spider-Man, like people didn't get mad that the original Tim Burton Batman, well, some people probably did, but the original Tim Burton Batman movie came out and it wasn't, I mean, that was kind of its own thing. Like, yeah. It took some inspiration from, obviously, from Batman in general and from some of the comics at the time. It made him darker and stuff, but it was pretty much its own deal. And I don't remember people getting all upset about that. Of course, it was like 1989. I don't remember much from then.
People also got upset when... Did you actually watch the Thor movies?
I watched the first one. I don't think I saw the second one.
Well, he's in... You know Heimdall? The guy who is... I can't remember his name. The black guy who can like, see forever.
Yeah.
People were upset that he's black.
I kind of get that. Like, it doesn't upset me, but I sort of... Because they're all like... I mean, I guess they're aliens, but they're like Norse... gods.
Yeah, but like they didn't inspire like the people there. I mean, I get that there's no black people in Norway. There were no black people in Frozen. That was a controversy. But I don't know. I see no reason why Heimdall couldn't just be a brother.
He could. Like I said, I don't really have a problem with it, but I understand being like, why? Because I guess maybe he never visited anyway, but like these are all based, like the characters are all based on Norse gods, and the Norse gods wouldn't have been black.
Potentially. I mean, really, when it comes down to casting or when it comes down to the movie, I think really the why isn't them deciding to make him black. It's just Idris Elba was there and they're casting colorblind.
Yeah, in that particular case, I don't think it was a... maybe it was, but I don't think it was like a weird forced push for diversity.
Yeah.
Which would annoy me. That's largely why I don't care. mm-hmm. But I wouldn't think you were crazy if you did care, especially if you were like a Thor nut. I don't think it has to be racism to complain about someone changing the race of a character, basically, is my point, I guess. So while I largely don't give a fuck, I don't think people are being, it depends on what your reaction to it is, but I don't think just being like, why did you do that? Like, I wish you wouldn't have done that. It makes you a racist or anything.
Yeah. Man, Thor's like such an idiot. Remember in the Avengers when he just hits Captain America with his hammer?
Yeah. Yeah. Those Avengers.
I liked the Avengers a lot, but it had a lot of pretty dumb stuff in it. There's also a comic strip where, it's when, in the Avengers when Captain America is unfrozen in that line, the first thing Thor does is throw his hammer at him.
Why is Thor such a dick?
I don't know. Why is he not cognizant of how powerful his hammer is?
I don't know much about Thor, honestly, because he's one of the lamest superheroes, but So mostly what I know about him is from the Avengers and the first Thor movie. But at least in those, in the movies, he's definitely played as like a dumb jock.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's kind of a dummy.
Yeah.
That Avengers movie, I did enjoy it at the time. I won't say that it was a bad movie because it wasn't, and it was enjoyable. And I don't like it when people use the term popcorn flick. Oh, it's a popcorn flick. It's,
yeah.
It's just, it's supposed to be dumb.
You're
just
a summer blockbuster.
Turn your brain off and enjoy it. I don't like that. But in a way, I do kind of think of the Avengers as a popcorn flick. But what I mean is more like I watched it once and I enjoyed it, but I've also forgotten most of it and probably will never watch it again.
Yeah.
It's more like it's disposable rather than, oh, you're just supposed to turn your brain off and enjoy it.
Yeah, they've been really killing it with those Marvel movies, though, lately. Like, Iron Man 3 was super good. Thor 2 was pretty good. The new Captain America is, like, probably the best movie of the year.
I do want to see the new Captain America. I don't know if I'll ever watch the second Thor movie. Iron Man 3 was
Thor movie
good.
Seems to have no bearing on anything. Like, it's not one that, like, you have to watch it to get all the other ones.
I actually did sort of enjoy the first Thor movie, like, more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Are they ever going to make a new Hulk? I don't really care about the Hulk, but...
Yeah, I think they've kind of realized that they don't really have anything they can do with the Hulk.
We'll just keep it for the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they might, just because they recast him and everything, and he's in the Avengers. I thought they might try to take one more stab at it.
Because, you know, like, the Hulk's whole thing is he's just, like, a force. He's not really a character. That's why he worked in the Avengers, because he was like literally like a force that was attacking their ship at one point that they had to deal with.
Yeah. Comic book movies. Oh,
comic books.
Did that one with the raccoon come out yet?
Nope. That comes out in a couple weeks, I think, or maybe like a few days.
What's that Rocket one raccoon. About?
It's the Guardians of the Galaxy, which is a comic line that is not popular. But it's like them entering into all the cosmic bullshit of Marvel. Like Thanos and stuff. It's going to tie into like Avengers 2 and 3. Stuff like the Infinity Gauntlet.
And the raccoon guy.
The raccoon guy, he's a raccoon. He's from space. He steals cars.
Is he actually from space?
Yeah, he's an alien.
I thought he was an actual raccoon.
I don't actually know very much, but since it takes place in all space stuff, I'm just kind of assuming.
I think I read something about it, and it might have just been like a Reddit comment or something, but I thought I read some comic dork talking about it and saying like he's an actual raccoon who's just like super intelligent and can talk. Like he was experimented on or something, or...
He's the guardian of the Keystone Quadrant, an area of outer space sealed off from the rest of the cosmos. No, I can't find it.
Eh, well.
Whatever. He's a raccoon. He's a rocket. He's a character in Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which I think is funny.
I'm sort of surprised they made this into a movie.
Yeah, I think they're making it this so that they can branch out into stuff like Thanos, honestly, and like Ultron.
Is Thanos the guy that was like in at the after credits scene? Yeah.
The purple man.
So they already had a way to branch out into that guy.
No, but it's like it's an easier way to introduce all the cosmic stuff, of which Thanos is a part.
Okay. So all the space junk.
Yeah.
Superhero.
And also they were just reaching for obscure stuff. And Guardians of the Galaxy is something that you can make a pretty fun movie out of. So, and Vin Diesel's in that movie. So is Batista, the wrestler.
In the Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
Yeah, Vin Diesel plays Groot, who is a tree man.
Is the Dink in it? He's weird looking. He could be an alien.
Yeah. Maybe he could be Ronin.
I just saw a picture today on Reddit from the new Adam Sandler movie. I think it's called Pixels. And it's Adam Sandler, the Dink, and he wasn't in the picture, but Paul Blart. I can't think of the actor's name.
Kevin James.
Yeah, Kevin James. Kevin James plays the president. And for somehow aliens are watching people play video games, and the aliens misunderstand the video games and think it's a declaration of war. And then for some reason, the president contacts his old buddy, Adam Sandler, who is really good at video games, to like help stop the alien invasion or something. And I guess the Dink is also really good at video games. So he's in it. Probably just so they can make midget jokes, but I'm surprised the Dink would be into that at this point in his career. I feel like he's like the one serious midget actor, so he should be like the guy who's like, I refuse to do little people jokes.
Maybe they just roped him into the contract without him knowing. He doesn't have a lot of that clout. He's pretty small power wise. Fighting off aliens with video games, I think, is literally an episode of Futurama.
I believe that.
But,
I read a synopsis about that movie. It sounds like the worst thing ever.
Yep.
What happened to Adam Sandler? He was never like, I was at the right age, I think, to think that like Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore were the most hilarious things ever.
And they're pretty good.
It was a different time. I don't think I would like them anywhere near as much if they came out now, but I still think that they were decent movies and they were funny. Yeah. What happened to him?
I don't know. I think he became less funny, but still had a lot of money and liked making movies.
I guess.
Because these are all the movies he's in, he made.
Yeah, that's true. They're all like Happy Madison Productions or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Adam Sandler. It feels stupid to complain about Adam Sandler movies being bad. Like, duh, everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
But that one seemed especially like, it almost seemed like a joke somebody would write about the new Adam Sandler movie. Like, what's the new Adam Sandler movie going to be? Here's my hilarious take on what it might be. And then it's the truth.
Yeah. Oh, they made a new Planet of the Apes movie. More monkey movies.
Oh, yeah. Did that come out or is that coming out?
I think it's out.
Is, what's his face in that? The Pineapple Express guy?
I have no idea. I haven't seen any of these apes.
I liked that Planet of the Apes movie. I was disappointed, though, in the CG. I mean, it's some of the best, you know, computer-generated monkeys I've ever seen, but...
Yeah, I can't compare it to anything.
But it's still so obviously CG. I don't know when we're going to finally...
Those monkeys were too smooth.
Get over that bump.
Yeah.
They're all riding horses in this new one, I think.
Yeah. Okay, which one is it? Is it the newest one or the one that you watched that has monkey Abraham Lincoln?
No, that was the Tim Burton remake.
Oh. Okay. Why are there so many of these movies?
I don't know, but the newer, not the one that just came out, but the one that just came out as a sequel to, with I still can't think of his name, Pineapple Express guy.
James Franco?
Yeah, James Franco. Yeah. With him. that one was actually pretty decent. The Tim Burton one was kind of shitty, but I liked the practical makeup effects in that. Those monkeys looked pretty good. Tim Roth.
Good on you, monkeys.
Tim Roth with his giant hook nose should have been hard to make into a monkey, but they pulled it off.
Great.
Because those monkeys got flat noses, Bames. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah. And they say we're related to them.
I wasn't monkey. I don't remember being a monkey.
Yeah, exactly. If I
why are there still monkeys?
Exactly. Obviously, Planet of the Apes is true, which it is. Then monkeys came second.
Yeah. We are the apes.
Yeah, that monkey Abraham Lincoln thing was real stupid. Like, Mark Wahlberg takes off from the Planet of the Apes at the end and then, I guess, crashes back on Earth, but he's gone through a time warp. Because the big spoiler or whatever, not spoiler, but the big twist is that, oh, this is actually Earth, which, if you know about Planet of the Apes, is not a surprise.
Yeah, that's literally all I know about it, other than Earth is monkeys.
It's actually Earth, but you didn't travel to some other planet. You just were like suspended in time or went through a time warp or something and then came back to the Earth a whole bunch of years later and the monkeys had evolved. So then he leaves and it, I guess, happens again. And the next time he comes back, they've developed our society exactly, except they're monkeys.
Monkey Abe Lincoln. Yeah, they had the exact same course of events.
Yeah, Monkey Abe Lincoln, they like the monkey NYPD pulls up.
MYPD. Monkey York Police Division. Yeah, see, time is just a cycle. It's a loop. First come the monkeys, then the double monkeys.
Monkeys who can't remember human history are doomed to repeat it.
Who monkeys the monkeys?
That is the question.
Yeah. I saw this video. It might have been on that new Onion site. It was a video of, it was called Every Time Harrison Ford Says the Words Harrison Ford in The Fugitive. And it's just all these scenes from The Fugitive where they edited in this guy going, Harrison Ford. So like when he busts through that glass ceiling with that dude, it's like, Harrison Ford. It's pretty good. It's like a minute and a half long. It's like a super cut.
Well, Bames.
Yep.
I think I'm going to call it quits.
Yep. I think this is a show.
Yeah, I think we did it. We did it, everybody. You can all go home.
Mission accomplished.
Thanks for your help.
We did it, 2014.
So thanks for listening, everybody. As usual, you can tweet at me. Tweet me Tumblr links. And that's it. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll check you next week.
Word.
Except that's probably a lie.